local village church when he was younger. He believed that God existed, but he didn't really know that God loved him and that God had good plans for his life. And it wasn't really until he went on a weekend away with another church. A friend in his class at school invited him to join them on a weekend away with their church youth group that his faith really took off, and he took a hold of his faith for himself. And I don't know exactly what happened, but I think basically while he was on this weekend away, he realized how much God actually loved him. He saw his friends from his class at school who were worshiping with their hands in the air and singing about how much God loved them. And he heard people praying to God and talking about God as if God was a father who had good plans for them. And over the course of the time away, this young man, he accepted that maybe there was a God who was real and that might also love him too. And so he began to trust in Jesus and to follow him. And you might know that young man because his name is Matt Phillips. After that weekend, his life was never the same. The decision to let himself be loved by Jesus has taken him all over the world, even to exotic places such as Ely, where he's now ordained and serving his curacy in the Church of England. And just in case anybody he's visiting today or hasn't properly woken up yet, my name is Matt Phillips, so that's my story. That's how I came to faith when I was a young person, and somebody else in my class invited me to go on a weekend away with their church, and I realized that God was real, I realized that God loved me, and I realized that God had good plans for my life. And as simple as that might sound, it's changed my life upside down, and my life has never been the same from that moment on. So on the basis of that was how I came to faith. I'm really passionate about the work that we do with young people here at St. Mary's. And as a church, I hope we're all really passionate about using this time and inputting into the lives of teenagers and young people when they are listening out and they are looking for what's important in their life, just like I was in my story. So just for a few minutes now this morning, I want to share a little bit about what we think is really important and what we're trying to do in our youth work at St. Mary's. And the first thing is that, very simply, we want St. Mary's to be a church where young people feel at home and able to participate fully in all that we do. In our first reading this morning, we heard from the Apostle Paul, who was writing to Timothy, a younger man who was serving in the church. And Paul had a very special relationship with Timothy. He loved him like his own son, and he was obviously mentoring him and helping him as he started off in Christian ministry. But Paul reminds Timothy in this reading to not let anyone look down on him in the early days of his ministry because he's young, but he is actually to set an example to all of the other believers. And so this morning, as we talk about our young people here at St. Mary's, I want to echo Paul's words to us as well. And I want to say to everybody that's here this morning that we believe our young people should not be looked down on because they are young, but actually they can set an amazing example to all of us who are gathered here and actually the wider city of Ely as they share their faith and as they proclaim their faith in their words and in their deeds and everything that they do. And every now and again, I know that these priests and church leaders mean well, but occasionally I hear comments about young people which go a little bit like this. The young people are the church of the future, or the young people are the up-and-coming generation in our church. And I know that these statements are meant with the best of intentions, and often they flow out of a desire to really invest in young people and to sow into their lives, which is obviously very important. But I want to say to all of us this morning that the young people, they are the church of today. They're not the church of tomorrow or the future. They are the church today. As we've seen this morning, Rosie and Beth have shared about their faith that is living and breathing and active and is making a huge difference. And if we ignore that today, then we miss out on something very, very special, something very important that can change our lives as well and encourage us as we go forward in our own faiths as well. Paul doesn't write to Timothy, does he, and say, you've got a lot to learn for now, so let the older members of the church set an example to everybody else. And then one day, maybe when you're older, you'll also be able to set an example if you try really hard. You'll get there one day. He writes in the present tense, he says to Timothy that he's to set an example to the other members of the church right now in his speech, in his conduct, in his love, in his faith, and in his purity. And I know that I'm so thankful in my life that I've belonged to churches where even when I've been in the youth group, I've been given the opportunity to explore my gifts and my vocation and to play a role in the wider church community. I remember when I was 16, just a few months after I'd really become a Christian, that I stood at the front of our little church in Wales and I gave my first sermon, and it was complete gobbledygook. I shook leaves around and said about how I thought leaves were really beautiful and something about God's creation pointing us towards who God was. And it was completely crazy. And when I look back now, I'm so embarrassed about that sermon because it had no logic. It probably wasn't very intelligible to anybody who was sat there. But the church I was in thought it was amazing. They really loved me. They really encouraged me. And they kept on pushing me forward because they believed I had something to share. They believed they could learn from me. I also remember in this church that I went to after I became a Christian, there was an amazing sense of church family. And there was a sense that everybody had something to share in our services or when we met together for Bible studies in the week. So I remember an older lady who was almost like a surrogate granny for me. She's called Olwyn. And I would listen for Olwyn's words of wisdom as she was 82, and she would share with me what she felt about these Bible passages and what had been important to her in her life. And I would listen with my whole heart because I wanted to hear from her wisdom and what it had meant after a life of following Jesus and to see what she had to say. But what was amazing was Olwyn also wanted to see what I had to say as well. So she would always ask me to share what I felt about a passage or what I felt God was saying. And it was a beautiful picture for me of church family. We were a tiny church in South Wales, but I love that here at St Mary's, we catch glimpses of this as well, with people of all ages and all stages contributing and sharing something about what's happening in their lives and sharing it with everybody in our church family. And I'm particularly thrilled that our young people have a faith that is absolutely thriving. We've already seen that this morning. But just before Christmas, like I said, I had the chance to present three young people in the cathedral for confirmation, which was absolutely brilliant. We've seen two baptisms this morning. And when I've been along to Pathfinders on a Friday night, I've also been amazed by the questions that these young people are asking. They have very intelligent minds and they ask very deep questions about God, far deeper than I normally do. They have a faith that is real and they are seeking to follow Jesus with all of their heart. So I really believe that our young people can set us an example. And if we don't let them set us an example, then we're missing out on something really special that God is doing in this church. So I encourage you this morning to maybe talk to one of the young people in our youth group this morning, to ask them how they ended up coming along to youth group, to ask them what God is doing in their lives. You might be surprised by some of the answers you get. You might be encouraged, and it might actually help you to go forward with your own faith as well. So we want St. Mary's to be a place where everybody has a part to play, where everybody feels at home, and especially our young people. But more than anything, we also want our young people at St. Mary's to know that they are loved, both by God and also the wider worshipping community. We all need to know God's love, don't we? Especially in the ups and the downs of life. And in our second reading this morning, we are presented with a picture of what God's love is really like. The father in the story of the lost sons is meant to give us a picture of who God is. And Luke paints a picture of God the Father who is full of compassion, who runs towards us, who throws his arms around us, who embraces us, who places a robe on us, a ring on our fingers, and sandals on our feet to show us that we are his children and that he cares for us. And we all need to know that love. All of us need to know that we are loved by God. The different seasons of life, there are good times, there are hard times, there are some times that are just boring, and we need to keep going knowing that God is with us in those times. But our young people especially need to know that, and I'm thrilled that they do know that in the activities that are taking place here at St. Mary's. I don't know if you can remember what it's like to be a young person. Maybe ask one of the young people that after the service, but it's not the easiest of times. You're thinking about what you want to do with your whole life. You're trying to apply to university. You're trying to do your A-levels. You're trying to cope with university interviews and trying to present yourself in a really good way. You're trying to listen to many different voices in the world and try and discern which is the right voice to listen to. And although it might seem obvious to us that you should listen to Jesus and you should listen to your parents, it's not always easy when you're a teenager. And I think I've almost deleted that episode of my life. But I do remember having many arguments with my own parents about what I wanted to do with my life and where I wanted to go. It's not always easy being a teenager. And our young people here, we really want you to know that you are loved by everybody here at St. Mary's, and you're also loved by God. And just to give us a little bit more of a picture this morning into how that happens at St. Mary's and how we help our young people to know they're loved, I want to invite up Lois and Scarlett, who are another two of our young people, and they're going to share with us a little bit about what happens at St. Mary's for young people. So thank you so much for agreeing to come and talk to us. Do you come and stand by here? And thank you for agreeing to the invite to come. And I'm just going to ask you a few questions, and you're going to share with us all a bit about what happens in the youth at St. Mary's. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Okay. So first of all, can you just tell us a little bit more about yourselves? And do you want to use this mic here? Yeah, come forward.
Hi, I'm Lois. I'm 14. I moved to Ely about 5 months ago. I like drama and music and art.
Excellent. Thank you.
And I'm Scarlett. I'm 13, going 14 soon, though. I moved to Ely 5-6-ish months ago, and I like drama, music, and art as well.
Very good. So you've both not been here very long, 5 to 6 months, and you're here at St. Mary's. But has there been anything in particular that has helped you to settle into St. Mary's?
Well, I think St. Mary's has a very strong community, and obviously moving from one place to another and joining a new congregation is a very difficult and scary process and continues to be, but within a few services I instantly felt welcomed, and Pathfinders is the highlight of my week every week. It is my sanctuary, it is my happy place. I honestly don't know what I would do without it.
Kind of the same here, just being able to get to Pathfinders, and like, it's a very welcoming group. That like first week going there, I immediately felt like everyone there was going to be great friends, and it was going to be really helpful and stuff. So
brilliant. Well, it's good to hear. I know what you're going to say based on what you've already just shared with us, but would you recommend Pathfinders to young people in Ely?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah, 100%. We're going to put that on the advert. Absolutely, 100%. Lois and Scarlett. Brilliant. Shall we give these young girls a round of applause? Thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. So as Lois and Scarlett have shared with us, we have Pathfinders on a Friday night, which is a chance for young people to come together, and they eat together, they play games together. There's all sorts of amazing things. There's a pool table, there's a Wii, there's card games. I've been a few times and ended up playing Spoons, which is a very violent game. Don't get too caught up in that if you ever find yourself at Pathfinders. And then on Sunday mornings, we also have Pathfinders with us in the service, and then they go out normally. They meet in the vestry or in the vicarage, and it's a chance for the young people to look at the same passages that we're looking at in church, but for themselves, and to talk it through with their youth leaders. The only difference to that is on the third Sunday, which is today, when the young people are actually in church with us and they're serving. So I don't know if you've noticed, but there were some young people that welcomed you on the door. I can see some young people at the back right now making sure that I'm speaking and I can be heard. Young people were leading us in worship, young people were reading, and we really want to encourage this to keep on going forward as we grow as a church, that our young people are able to take on more and more roles in church and feel that they belong in our church family, and that they would know that they are loved. And earlier on you might have heard Rosie and Beth also mention about the summer, and in the summer we always take our young people away for a week. Previously we've taken them to Soul Survivor. Oh, I say we, Beth, Dan and the rest of the team have taken them away to Soul Survivor, and this year I've been persuaded to go along. We're going to Limitless, which is one of the replacement festivals for Soul Survivor. So there will be an advert for Limitless as soon as the service ends. So if anyone's interested in joining us, then do come along. But this is just a small insight into all the different ways that we show our young people that they are loved by God, and also they are loved by the community here at St. Mary's. So we've talked about how we want our young people to feel welcome. We want them to be able to participate. We want them to know God's love. And finally, just for the last few minutes, I want to talk a bit about how we want our work with young people to keep on growing from strength to strength, to keep on growing numerically, but also for our young people to keep going deeper in their faith and to keep on setting those examples to us that we've already talked about this morning. Statistically, I don't know if you know, but in the UK, church attendance is actually going down, and the number of young people who attend church is going down. But I'm so full of joy this morning to say that's not happening at St. Mary's. The number of people attending our youth group is going up. And actually, when I first came along to Pathfinders, everybody used to sit along around a table for food. And as the weeks have gone by, this table has got bigger and bigger and bigger until it's the size of the whole room now, because there are so many young people coming along. And as we've seen this morning in the testimonies and in the sharing of stories, our young people are coming to the church, and more people are finding their way to be here. And it made me think of a service I was at yesterday, actually, at St. Paul's Cathedral in London. I was meeting some friends, and one friend really wanted to go to the midday Eucharist service at St. Paul. So we went along and we took our seat. But I was quite surprised that the midday Eucharist service didn't take place in a small side chapel, but it took place in the middle of St. Paul's Cathedral. So there was a circle of chairs, and we sat on the circle of chairs with a priest in the middle, and all the tourists and everybody else who was visiting St. Paul's that day, hundreds of people, kept milling around the outside, and they were taking pictures of us, and there was a hubbub, and there was all this noise, and I was thinking, goodness me, this is not like St. Mary's in Ely. This is very different. And I was a bit annoyed, actually, because I thought, well, I can't really hear what's going on, and I can't focus because people are taking pictures and people are walking in and people are being ushered back out. It's complete chaos what's going on in this service. Why would you decide to have a communion service right in the middle of the cathedral? And actually, as I went on and the service went on, we got to the part of the service where you come forward, and we have this when we have a communion service here at St. Mary's. You come forward and you receive the bread and you receive the wine, and then you go back and you sit down. And normally there's quite a long queue as people come forward one at a time, receives the bread and the wine and remembers how much God loves them and how Jesus gave his life for them on the cross. It's a very special part of the service for me. But what was beautiful was that as I went up and then went and sat down, I saw that actually some of the tourists who were just mingling around the outside and had been just watching suddenly began to join the queue and came forward for communion. And as they got to the front, the priest, who was obviously very used to this, said a prayer of blessing over these tourists. And there were about 20 or 30 that just came forward because they joined the queue as it was going forward. And he prayed a prayer of blessing on them, and they knew in that moment, I'm sure, how much God loved them. They were welcomed into that gathering. And you could see on their faces that it was a really special moment for them. They were really touched by the act of the priest and actually by included in that moment and knowing that they were loved by God, even though they might have much, much further to go on their own journey of faith. And it struck me afterwards that even though I was a bit grumpy at the very beginning and thinking, why is this service taking place in the middle of St. Paul's, that actually there's no better place for a communion service to take place, because there in amongst all these different people who found themselves wandering around this building as tourists, actually God is there. God is with us in every moment, in every season of our life. And who knows what God will do with those moments, with those people who accidentally found themselves drawn into God's love, drawn into that moment. That could be the start of an amazing journey of faith for them. And who knows, one day they might be standing at the front of a church, being baptized, saying that the moment that changed everything for them was when they were prayed for by a priest at St. Paul's Cathedral, even though they'd just gone there as a tourist. But it got me thinking that actually God is in the habit of drawing people to him. In our gospel reading this morning, we see how the younger son, even though actually he turned his back on his father, he went away and he was tempted by the other things that seemed to offer him life and seemed to offer him love in the world. Actually, he couldn't help but be drawn back to the love of his father. He couldn't help but be drawn back to his father's house. And it's our hope and our prayer that actually God will continue to draw many, many people into his love, especially our young people. We want our youth work to be thriving, and for our young people here in St. Mary's, but also in the wider city, to know that they are loved by God, to know that God has good plans for their lives, even when that's difficult, and even when it's difficult to work that out. But also we want all of us here, this whole city, to also know God's love, whatever age you are. It's an invitation for all of us to draw near and to receive the love that God lavishes on us, just like the father wraps his hands around his younger son and kisses him and hugs him and throws a party because he loves him so much and he's just glad he's at home. I want all of us this morning to know that we are all invited to come home and to be loved by God. And like I said at the beginning of this sermon, when I was 15 and when I went away on a weekend away with my youth group, that was a moment that changed absolutely everything for me. as I stepped into that love, as I received that love, as I let God put his arms around me and help me to know that I was his son, that he loved me. And it sounds such a simple thing to do, but sometimes it's the simplest things that are actually the most amazing and the life-changing things. So actually, as we come to the end of our service now, as we reflect on how our youth work is growing, how we want our youth to carry on being a central part of our service, and as we reflect on how we want them to know God's love every single day, I just want to leave a moment of quiet now for all of us, including our young people, but people of every age this morning, just to know that God loves us and he's here with us. Because who knows, if you accept God's love into your life this morning, it could change absolutely everything. So we're just going to be quiet for a moment. I'm going to pray a short prayer. And if you want to make it your prayer, then just say amen at the end. Father God, thank you so much for our young people at St. Mary's. And thank you so much for the stories we've heard this morning of people coming and discovering new life in you. And this morning we pray for everybody here. We ask that you would help us to know your love. Even when we turn our backs on you, even when we do things that cause you harm and upset you, Father God, we thank you that your arms are always wide open. You always long to draw us back to yourself, to bring us home, and to draw us to be in relationship with you. So please help us, Father, today to know your love. In a moment of quiet, we give you ourselves, and we pray that you would help us to know your arms being wrapped around us now. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.